that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Very good morning to you, Martin. Thanks for joining us once again here on AM Live.
Great, Gillian.
We see that there's some good news for our neighbour Botswana. After 120 years, De Beers is apparently moving its diamond sales from London.
That's right. You know, Botswana has staged something of an economic coup by grasping the full spectrum of diamond control away from London. And this is part of a 10-year deal. Of course, it's good for De Beers because the supply of diamonds is quite constrained. They can't find new mines. And this gives De Beers more than 60% of its supply for the next 10 years. So it's got that supply security. But for Africa, there's also a lot because in exchange, what happens in London is going to come to Gaborone, lock, stock and barrel. And you know, all that aggregation that takes place of diamonds around the world will now be done in Botswana. So what I'm saying is that not just Botswanan diamonds, but diamonds mined in South Africa, Namibia, Canada, and the 20 other countries that De Beers is involved in come to Botswana for aggregation. That means that they put like diamonds together and then they offer them. That also means that people have to come now to Gaborone to buy those diamonds, which has a great tourism fillip there. And it has a banking implication as well because, you know, traded will be something like 6 billion diamonds a year from 2013. So this is an important aspect. And the government of De Beers is also taking for itself the right to buy 10% of those diamonds. So it has a verification window and all the prices. And then to put these downstream. And that was a big eye-opener when I was in Botswana, to see the downstream activities, you know, the cutting and the polishing. And we saw that some of the South African link companies, Safdeco, very active in the diamond technology park, and also Steinmetz, which has a South African link. But surprising was the company Strenuge, which is listed in Bombay. You know, I didn't realize they were making diamond jewelry there. And there I saw these, engagement rings being fabricated before my very eyes. I was quite surprised.
Wow. And not only good news this week for Botswana, but also for South Africa. The Germans have put a feather in South Africa's cap, saying that it's become a center of excellence for manufacturing submarine periscopes.
That's right. That's a high-tech item, submarine periscopes. And, you know, the Danel used to own a lot of activity in the periscope space in the past. It now only owns 30% of what is called Carl Zeiss Optronics, which operates out of Pretoria. And they've said, look, South Africa, you make the hole penetrating periscopes, we'll make the non-hole penetrating periscopes in Germany, and then we will give you that market, which is fantastic. In the first month, they've got orders for periscopes and periscope components worth about 100 million rand. They've only invested something like 30 million here in South Africa. So already, you know, you can see the payback is going to be pretty fast. And none of the marketing has to be done by South Africans because of, you know, Carl Zeiss's reach. And we know that the Germans make quite a lot of submarines. And if the South Africans then can have a foot in here, it'll mean that most of these submarines have both a hull penetrating periscope and the more advanced non-hull penetrating telescope. So that gives us a ready market. So it seems like a good deal for us to keep our, you know, high-tech trade deficit down, because, you know, you don't like to have to import these high-tech items as well. We have got our own submarines here, which means we could feed them into the system. Mm.
And I was reading about this earlier. Apparently, there will be more than 15 South African companies involved in terms of servicing and also supplying, which means that there's an element of job creation there as well.
That's right. So it's a very good spin-off in that you have local suppliers that are private sector companies feeding in to what is partly a state-owned company, but now largely privatised and German-owned.
Mm. On AM Live, we spoke about the failure of South Africa's Sumbandila satellite. But then again, another positive spin-off there in that South Africa's planning to build a new one.
Yes, South Africa is now planning to build a new satellite. The bad news is that Sumbandila sat is out of contact with its mission control. It hasn't been producing any images since July. But we didn't really invest huge amounts in that Sumbandila sat. If you look at globally at what it costs to put up a microsatellite, I think we are very, very competitive. And we've gone on a very big learning curve. And we know that we've had that SunSat up since 1999, and that was a private sector, privately funded, the private sector did all the launching and everything. So that was our first satellite, and we then put up the second one, which was state-owned, which was the Sumbandila sat in nearly 2 years ago. Unfortunately, that seems to have met with a sorry end. It seems to be tumbling out of control through space. They think it's got a flat battery. They haven't declared it dead yet, by the way, but they are trying to make contact with it. But the news now is that the South African National Space Agency, SANSA, hopes to start a program to build South Africa's next satellite, the next state-owned satellite, next year. And it looks like this time it's going to come in with a far bigger budget. They're talking 400 million rand, whereas, you know, the last time we spoke of 27 million. Although I know that opposition speakers in Parliament say, look, it didn't really come that cheaply. It was probably about 100 million rand. So there is a not the full story being told about the cost of the satellite. But we know that, you know, in the world today, they no longer top secret and military devices that these satellites used to be. These are everyday things, you know. We know that from the weather reports, from the television transmission, and even telephone calls that make use of the satellites. So they've become everyday items. We know that Nigeria have got three up. South Africa's got nil at the moment. And the last one that Nigeria built was built by Nigerian engineers, not in Nigeria, but in the UK, which means that they're even catching up to us technology-wise. So we definitely need to make sure that we keep abreast of this again, you know, for this high technology trade deficit. If we have to import these images and import the licenses, it costs a lot of money. So there needs to be a balance there. And we also need people to get abreast of the satellite technology. So the news is, we're going to get a new satellite and the planning is beginning, but it's likely to cost about 400 million rand.
Well, we'll be holding thumbs for the success of that satellite, and I'm sure that you will also keep us updated as things develop. Martin Creamer, thank you once again for joining us here on AM Live. Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, and he will be back at the Coalface at the same time next Friday.